Sure.
And then you guys can introduce yourself. Jesus, we want to thank you so much for JP and Judy. We praise you for your hand on their lives and the way that you have ordered their steps and carried them through thick and thin, up and down, left and right, and the whole time in the exact center of your purpose for them. We bless them. We bless their family. We thank you for the countless answered prayers that you have worked on their behalf. And Lord, we're humbled and honored to know that they've also prayed for us. And so Lord, we just thank you for the fellowship that we share in the Spirit. We pray that as your word is shared this morning and perspective on how and where they serve in Indonesia, that Holy Spirit, you would come, you would speak clearly to us and through JP and Judy, and that you would be honored in it all, not just in what we hear, but in what we do as a result. In your name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Hello.
Go ahead, step up.
Good morning. As Dan mentioned briefly, this is, in our hearts, our home church. And we are always happy to be back, and we greet you from the church in Indonesia on behalf of all of them. But I'm here to greet you on behalf of the rest of the family. Those of you that have been here a while and have known us since we started coming here know that it's not just the two of us. And when we first came, we brought our oldest daughter, who you all welcomed richly. She had just finished college, and she moved up here on her own. And long story short, through how the Lord connected, she ended up being connected with Northridge. She lived with Margaret for a while until she found an apartment. And that was the beginning of us feeling welcomed into this church family and becoming part of your church in our hearts and feeling like this really is our home church. And so we thank you for welcoming us so warmly all of the time. That being said, I am here to greet you on behalf of all of our kids. And Pastor Dan has asked that I give a brief update on our kids because we are a family and many of you know them and have prayed for them over the years as well. As mentioned, Alexis is our oldest daughter. She currently lives and works in the country of Malaysia and is a teacher at Dalat School. There, and she has taught in West Africa, she has taught in South America, and now she's teaching in Asia, and she is very unhappy that we are here without her and that we ate at Goodberry's yesterday. So you can pray for her heart. Her younger twin sister is Stephanie. She's married to a young man named Clayton, who is currently doing his medical residency at a hospital in Akron, Ohio. They have a son who will be 2 next month. His name is Owen. And they have a 3-month-old son whose name is Lincoln. And she stays busy at home with our 2 grandsons that they have gifted us with. Our youngest daughter, Jordana, lives with her husband, Chad, right outside of Atlanta. They also have a son who will be 2 next month. His name is Cruz. And they have a 2-month-old son whose name is Maddox. And so she is also very busy with her 2 sons, our other 2 wonderful grandsons that have been gifted to us. And I think that updates you on our family, and that's what I'm going to say.
You can talk about the prayer card, please.
Oh, JP says I have to talk about the picture. That's us, if we're unrecognizable today for some reason compared to that picture. That is our latest prayer card, if you would like one. We are happy to give those to you after the service. We will take that as a pledge from you that you will be praying for us. This church, as I mentioned, upholds us in prayer so often, and we cannot even begin to tell you how much that means to us, how much we need that. And if you want a card to put on your fridge or wherever you keep your stash, we will accept that readily as a promise that you will continue praying for us, for our whole family, and we thank you for that in advance. Am I done? Thank you.
She's usually done when she says she's done, so I don't know why she was asking me. It is, like Judy said, very, very good to be here. I have spoken here a few times in the past when we did our home assignment here, and then a couple other times, I think, when I was on tour. So it's great to be back here again. I'm going to advance this because I don't want you to be distracted by that good-looking couple. But you heard, we have four grandsons. We have two daughters and their husbands living here in the States. My dad is 92. My mom will turn 90 next month. Judy's dad just turned 90 last Tuesday. We head back to Indonesia in January. So why are we doing what we're doing? Every time we go back now, we say goodbye to our parents, and that image is seared in our minds. Is that the last image we're going to see of them? It actually happened with Judy's mom. We said goodbye to them. They were down in Florida, and the image is still there, her dad and her mom standing there as we're driving away, waving. 2 months later, we flew back because she had passed away. Why do we keep doing what it is that we're doing for 31 years now with the Christian and Missionary Alliance? In January, we go back. I have to say goodbye to our grandsons. Parents again. Why do we keep doing what we're doing? Here's the answer. John chapter 10, verse 16. Just one verse that I want to share today. John 10, verse 16. Many of you know this passage. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Why do we keep doing what we're doing? Because there's another pen. There are sheep in that pen that need to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. Sheep is an interesting concept. I fear that I've talked about sheep maybe the last time I spoke here. I don't remember. But I'm going to give you a little tutorial on sheep. I fear I did last time I was here. But since I can't remember whether I did or not, more than likely you guys don't remember either. So I'm going to give you a little tutorial on sheep. Because in Jesus' time, he referred to sheep often. In fact, a couple verses above there, he talked about himself as being the good shepherd. They understood all of this because during that time, there were sheep everywhere. I've driven around Raleigh a lot. I haven't seen any sheep here. Now, there might be some somewhere, but people don't know much about sheep in this country unless you're specifically working with sheep. But we lived in Senegal for 11 years. And yesterday, we were speaking to the Live Oaks group. We were sitting at the table with the Zooks and Dr. Alford. And it dawned on me afterwards, Becky, that you were in Senegal visiting once, right? And we hosted you. And maybe you saw some sheep while you were there. But oftentimes, when we were in Senegal, and we hosted visitors like Becky, and I know Becky did not say this, but they would see the sheep, and they would go, oh, look at those cute goats. And I would say, those aren't goats, those are sheep. Oh, really? And so then I would explain to them. Oh, boy. There we go. In this picture, there are sheep and there are goats. And here's the difference. In the front, you see two sheep. Well, you see half a sheep and three quarters of a sheep. And then the sheep goats. And then the sheep in the background. Goats, their tails always go up. Sheep, their tails always droop down. So now you know. The reason sheep are so significant is because in the Muslim religion, once a year, they commemorate the time when God had asked Abraham to sacrifice his son. And at the very last moment, God provided a sheep or a ram to spare him, to spare the son. Now, in the Muslim religion, they believe it's Ishmael. We believe it's Isaac. But yet, once a year, Indonesia also, they commemorate this time. And so, in the city of Dakar, where we live, in Bandung, where we live now, this is what you see. Thousands and thousands of sheep are brought into the city, and people buy sheep so that they can sacrifice sheep to commemorate this day. You can see fans in the background. You think, oh, it must be really hot there, so they're keeping the sheep cool. No, it's actually a store that sells fans. And so they bring these sheep in front of these stores, these shepherds look to sell them. And so here's a case where people are going out trying to buy sheep, and they're bartering with the shepherds. Their goal is to buy the best sheep that they can afford. And then this lone sheep is saying, can you please get me out of here? I know what's going to happen to me. By the end of the day, I want to be spared. Not really, I just made that up. If you drive in Senegal or Indonesia, where there's a lot of sheep, and say one is in the middle of the road, and you rev your engine, you honk the horn, they'll just stand there. They won't move. And we think, well, sheep, they're stupid. I mean, what dumb animals. Goats, as soon as they hear you, boom, they take off. Oh, goats, they're sharp. They're smart. Sheep are dumb. So I did a study on sheep one day, and this is what I found out, and I'll read it for you. Sheep are frequently thought of as unintelligent animals. Their flocking behavior and quickness to flee in panic can make shepherding a difficult endeavor for the uninitiated. Despite these perceptions, a University of Illinois monograph on sheep reported them to be just below pigs and on par with cattle in IQ. Sheep can recognize individual human and ovine faces and remember them for years. In addition to long-term facial recognition of individuals, sheep can also differentiate emotional states through facial characteristics. So sheep have this innate ability to recognize, to remember, even sense emotional states. You can look on YouTube, I'm not going to show it here, but there's this clip on YouTube where there are all these sheep in a pasture, and this is all set up, and there's these visitors that come, and they are told, this is the sound you need to make to have the sheep come to you. So all these visitors are making the sound that they've been told to make. The sheep just keep eating. They don't even budge. For 5 minutes, they're trying nothing. And then the shepherd comes, and he starts calling them in the exact same sound or whatever words the visitors were using. And then all of a sudden, the sheep look up. Their heads turn towards the shepherd, recognize his voice, and they come running to him. Look it up, YouTube, fascinating. Sheep have this innate ability to recognize the voice of their shepherd. I was 12 years old. This was like 50 years ago. So figure it out in your heads, yeah. I heard the voice of the Good Shepherd, and I realized this is a voice that I want to follow. So for the last 50 years, I have been following the voice of the Good Shepherd. Has it been easy? No. I've gone through the valley of the shadow of death. I've faced very, very difficult things. Our family has. But yet, the voice of the Good Shepherd is worth it. And so, all of us in this room who at one point or another heard the voice of the Good Shepherd and followed are now in this sheep pen with the Good Shepherd, following him through thick and thin, through valleys, through mountains. But Jesus says, there's this other pen who one day will hear my voice and follow. And I came to the realization that God, the Good Shepherd, has called me to be his voice for these sheep to hear. How did they get here? Well, may we think back to Eve. She heard a voice. The voice told her to do something that God had told her not to do. She followed that voice. And then Adam, after that, followed the voice. And then in Indonesia, where we serve now, in the 1800s, from the Middle East, the Muslim religion came in. Loud, loud voice. Millions of Indonesians followed that voice. In the city of Bandung, where we live, city of 5 million people, almost 92% of the people that live in Bandung, Indonesia, are Muslim. They're all in this pen right here, following a voice that is leading them to destruction, eternal destruction. But yet God, our good shepherd, whom we are following, has asked us, commanded us to be his voice to reach these sheep that are still in this pen here. So Judy and I have been doing that for 31 years. And in the last 5 years, we've been involved in a very, very specific ministry, all with the desire of raising people up to be the voice of the Good Shepherd to reach those who have never heard. So I want to give like a very broad picture a little bit of what it is that we're involved with. We're involved with a group called Envision. Many of you have maybe heard of Envision. It's a part of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, been around for about 12 years. Well, and I explained this to the Live Oaks people yesterday. We have this interstate, we call it missions. Judy and I have been on this interstate for 31 years. My mom and dad were missionaries for 38 years. Judy's parents, 31 years, missionaries. Her grandparents, over 30 years, missionaries on this interstate of missions. Well, they've all gone on the off-ramp, retirement, health reasons, whatever. And the hope has been that we get people on the on-ramp to take the place of those on this interstate of missions that have gone on the off-ramp. But what we're realizing in the Christian Missionary Alliance in the last 20 years, less and less people are getting on this on-ramp. And so Envision was developed to try to help, especially young people, to be interested in following God in missions. Now, it could be here in the States. We're biased. We want it to be overseas. And so they've developed a branch of the Christian Missionary Alliance called Envision. And within that branch, we have programs that try to get people onto this on-ramp. So Judy and I live on this on-ramp, trying to get young people interested in serving him full-time to be the voice of the Good Shepherd to those who have never heard. So we started an Envision site in Bandung, Indonesia. And what we provide is opportunities for internship. So you might be somebody who just graduated from high school and you're wanting to do something fun and adventurous. So we provide internships for you. You might be a college student. Some colleges require internships. For instance, Sequoia Falls College, if you're an intercultural studies major, you have to do a 6-week internship. We provide opportunities for them in Bandung, Indonesia, to fulfill their internship with us. Or you might have graduated from college already and you're just trying to figure out God, what is it that you have for me? All I want to do is serve you, but I don't know what direction you're taking me. And so we provide this opportunity in Bandung, Indonesia, at this Envision site, to do an internship. We also provide a 2-year residency program where you can come and spend 2 years with us, and we have you first year learn the Indonesian language, and then the second year you're involved in ministries. I told a story yesterday of one of our 2-year residents. Learned Indonesian first year, her second year in Indonesian, she led a young lady to the Lord. We also provide opportunities for short-term teams. I know this church has been good at doing short-term teams, right? I mean, in the past, I don't know what it's been like since COVID and all. But opportunities on this on-ramp in hopes that we can push you onto this interstate of missions. You do an internship with us, we provide discipleship for you. We disciple you. We mentor you. We've had interns that are fairly new in their faith. We've had interns that come from broken homes. We have had interns that know clearly how God is leading them. Whatever situation you're in, it doesn't matter to us, as long as you're having a desire to follow God's will. And we will disciple and mentor you. And also, we will provide you opportunities for ministry in Bandung, Indonesia. And we have a slew of them. I could go on and tell you just story after story about the opportunities that we provide. Working in an orphanage, working in a home for unwed pregnant girls, working in a prison, a boys' prison, a women's prison, transition houses for those that have come out of the prison, an organic farm, children's soccer program, teaching English. So we have all these opportunities that you can come onto this on-ramp. We disciple, mentor, and you get plugged in to ministries while you're there. Our hope is that while you're with us, plugging into these ministries, and this is what we push, is that in every situation that you're in, every contact that you make with an Indonesian or somebody there in Bandung, you will realize you are there because God wants you to be his voice into their life, in the hopes that they will hear that voice of the Good Shepherd. Let me give one example. I don't see a clock back there, so maybe I'll give two. As I mentioned, one of the ministry opportunities we have is with an English center. I made contact with the director of this center. It's not a ministry. It's a non-Christian program. The director himself is not a believer. In fact, when I first contacted him, I made it very clear to him that we wanted to partner with him, that we would have interns, residents, short-term teams coming mostly from the United States, and we would have native English speakers that could help him teach English to the Indonesians at his center. He was thrilled. So we would love this partnership. But I made clear to him, I want you to know that every one of our volunteers are believers in Jesus Christ. I said, they will not come in holding a Bible under their arms and just preaching at everybody. But if there's ever an opportunity for them to share Christ, they're going to. He says, I don't care. He said, in fact, I've read the Bible, I've read the Quran, I've read all these religious books, and I've just taken the good things out of all of them, and I created my own religion. So I don't care what you do, he said. Well, one of our first interns, her name was Abby. We connected her with that English center. Very first day, I drive her down there to the center. I introduce her to the director. His name is Donnie. He was also teaching the class that afternoon with Abby helping. So happened there was only one student in that class. So Abby introduces herself. The student introduces himself and says, my name is Heskia. She goes, Hezekiah, that's interesting. We have a name in the Bible that's very similar to that, named Hezekiah. So she started talking a little bit about Hezekiah in the Old Testament. He found it kind of interesting. Well, then Donnie, the teacher, says, okay, time to start doing English. Let's stop that discussion. So they start doing English. 10 minutes in, Hezekiah says, can we not do English today? I want to ask Abby more about the Bible. For the next 2 hours, Abby was sharing scripture with Hezekiah. Donnie was in the room. She shared her testimony. For 2 solid hours, Abby was the voice of the Good Shepherd in Hezekiah's life and in Donnie's life. Those are the kind of opportunities that we provide in our internship, residency, short-term programs. Where if there's an open door, see it as the Holy Spirit opening that door, and you just dive in. I mean, the Holy Spirit immediately prompted Abby to say, we have a name similar to that. And she recognized that she was the voice of the Good Shepherd in the life of these two men. Abby invited Hezekiah to an English Bible study that we were doing once a week for Indonesians. The next Thursday, he comes to that Bible study. For 2 solid hours, he's hearing the truth again. Then we never heard from Hezekiah again. Didn't come to the center again. Didn't come to the Bible study again. And I had to wonder why. Was it because another voice started drowning the voice of the Good Shepherd? I don't know. But my hope and prayer is that Hezekiah will have encounters with other people that he will one day recognize the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow that voice. One last story. Oh yeah, plenty of time. One of the things that we do when we receive interns, residents, usually just interns and residents, is we have them stay with an Indonesian family for 4 weeks. So interns generally will stay with us anywhere from 4 weeks up to a year. Residents are there for 2 years. So if you're there longer than 4 weeks, we have you stay with an Indonesian family for 4 weeks. And usually we move you in with them 2 or 3 days after you have arrived. I mean, so it's just, you're diving in. Well, we have purposely decided that we are going to use just one family as our homestay host family. So in the last 4.5 years, this family has hosted probably 12 to 15 interns and residents in their home. Every one of these interns and residents at one time or another recognized an open door, sensing the Holy Spirit to share something about Jesus Christ. And they did. For 4.5 years, this couple have been hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd. We have a couple, a 2-year resident couple that's still there now. They did 4 weeks in this home. Very intentional about sharing truth with this family. To the point where on a Friday night, they asked them, could we show you the Jesus film? And they said, sure. So on a Friday night, they showed the Jesus film to this family. I don't know if you've seen the Jesus film or heard of it, but it's blatant. I mean, it's the truth. And they heard the truth in a clear, clear way. Afterwards, they said, that was interesting. But yet, there have been people in their lives being the voice of the Good Shepherd. And we don't know. We don't know. At what point are they going to make a decision, like I did 50 years ago, and say, this voice is worth following? But here's the thing. Judy and I, we don't have too much longer, actually, before we're getting off this off-ramp of retirement. And we're wanting people to take our place. And how is that going to happen? Unless we have people realizing that there's still this pen here that needs to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. A lot of young people in this room here this morning. I'm convinced of this, that if you are actually following the voice of the Good Shepherd, there is no way you can follow that voice and not recognize this pen over here. If you are truly following the voice of the Good Shepherd, and you recognize there's still this pen here, you are going to say to God, God, I want you to use me. Because you get that compelled to reach those who have never heard the voice of the Good Shepherd. But yet too often, those of us in this pen here, sometimes that voice of the Good Shepherd starts getting drowned out by other things. Things that we feel are important. Things that divide the church. Things that we quibble about. But yeah, my question is this. Are you allowing those things to prioritize your life? Or are you making a commitment? The one and only voice I need to follow is the voice of the Good Shepherd. If you're not at that point, and some of this is a challenge to the young people in the room right now, I want you to evaluate your heart. Is the voice of the Good Shepherd the only voice you're hearing and following? If not, do something about it. Because I can guarantee you, and many in this room can guarantee you, it's a voice worth following. And when you make that commitment, guaranteed, immediately, you will see these sheep over here. So I'm almost pleading. Recognize. We need people on this on-ramp. Because without us being the voice of the Good Shepherd, these people will never hear. I'm not making an altar call or anything like that. We used to do that, you know, missions conferences and stuff. But I want to pray. And while I'm praying, my prayer is going to be that people are challenged, are listening to the Holy Spirit talking in their life, speaking in their life, and making a commitment that if you're not already, saying, God, I want your voice to be the only voice that I hear. And God, I want to be used by you. Lord, that's my prayer. Because you've made it clear that there will come a time where these sheep will hear your voice. And there's only going to be one shepherd, and that's you. Lord, I pray for those in this room here. I pray for those that have not been following your voice. May they do something about it now, Lord. And Lord, you're the one that we pray to ask that you will send workers into the harvest field. So these commitments that are being made this morning, Lord, I pray that you will send them, that they will be your good voice, your voice, and those that have never heard will desire and commit to follow the voice of the Good Shepherd.